Now, that's basically the Top of the Pops theme music that did it for me. That was my era. I know it changed quite a bit over the years, but my sort of prime interest was when Whole Lotta Love was the theme. Well, a new book has come out about that fine, fine show. One of the authors is Steve Blacknell. Steve, how you doing?
Very well, Sir Johnny. How are you?
Listen, the hairs in the back of my neck go when I hear that music.
Do you know what? Me too. I just had the hairs on my arms go up. Yeah. Honest truth.
It's crazy. Listen, when we interview an author, we like to sort of put a bit of meat on the bones for people and tell them your credentials, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, you've done everything in the music biz. You hosted the TV show Riverside, which I remember. You were on BBC Breakfast Time.
Yep.
You were Europe's inaugural video jock. Right?
I was. I had a T-shirt with VJ on it.
Yeah, and I'm sure nobody knew what that meant.
Exactly.
You know, victory in Japan, back to the war. You won an award for the MTV show London Calling, and as an A&R man, you signed Flock of Seagulls.
Well, much to everyone else's chagrin, but I love the Seagulls.
No, listen, I mean, songs like Iran and Telecommunication and Wishing Out a Photograph, they're brilliant. They're regulars on this show.
Well, yeah. we had a top five. I say we, because I've still got the little bit of Seagull tuft. But we had a top five in America. It wasn't bad for the ugliest band in the world, was it?
They were often hailed as that, but the haircuts were outlandish, but I loved some of the songs, I really did, you know?
Yeah, they were great, and they were of the time, and God bless MTV.
And for Jive Records, they were a small company, that was quite a coup, getting a band who shifted that amount of records, wasn't it?
It was, Johnny, yeah. Jive started off with, of course, they had Tight Fit and a few other things, Sam Fox and stuff, but that was the real breakthrough for Jive in America, certainly, yeah.
So we've established your credentials in the music business.
Right.
So this book about Top of the Pops, I mean, it's not often you'll bring a book out for a TV show that hasn't been on for how long?
Well, 2006. So, that's exactly it. It's odd, but the legacy is enormous, and it's still, in the British eyes, it's still demographically one of the strongest brands in existence.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Amazing. Yeah.
I mean, but it was, I don't know how old you are, Steve, but certainly from my age, I'm in my early 50s. When I was growing up, if you missed Top of the Pops, it was social suicide.
Well, I'm 61 now,
yeah.
I feel the same. And if you, the front of the book is a very fireside-y sort of rug affair with, you know, the TV. An actual fact of it is, Johnny, that back then, 60s, 70s, it was a time when the family could get round and all assemble. And I've been talking to pop stars who were with their family looking at the show in the mid-60s, and lo and behold, 10 years later, they were on the show.
Yeah.
And their mum and dad were watching them then. So
I've spoken to, bands from Belfast and Northern Ireland, like the Undertones and Stiff Little Fingers, and they talk about the anticipation when they were going to be on Top of the Pops. And how they couldn't believe they were actually going to be on it because they'd spent their lives watching it, you know?
Well, I think there's some sort of record with the Undertones as well, with Mr. Sharkey and co. I think it was Here Comes Summer, I think. But it was one of the shortest ever appearances, 93 seconds.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah.
Sounds about right. They'd do it and get off. That was the punk, wasn't it?
It was a very short single. I do remember that, you know? So what's in the book? What have you set out to tell people?
Well, really, I've done it with I wrote the original book back 30 years ago for the 20th anniversary. But basically, I've got to go with a good chum, Patrick Humphreys, who is an experienced writer, written all the Springsteen books, Simon & Garfunkel, Floyd, you name it, recently the Lonnie Donegan book. And basically, Patrick's what I call a real author. We've taken some of my stuff, and I've done upwards of 150 interviews. We've got together with it, and it's basically Patrick and a few people have really rewritten the history of pop, but through the eyes of Top of the Pops,
yeah.
Which was always the great barometer, and always, to be frank with you, if one's being honest, bigger than the sum of its parts. The show was enormous, absolutely.
Well, I tell you, when I was young, going into school the next day, if you hadn't seen Top of the Pops, you weren't involved in any conversations because that's all anybody talked about.
Exactly.
So it was such a drag on your social life. That if you didn't, you really made every effort to see it or find out who was on, you know?
Well, Thursday night, tomorrow's world, Top of the Pops and The Man from U.N.C.L.E. I mean, come on, what's better than that?
Because I remember our football team, our training changed to Thursday evenings at one stage. And after a month or two, they had to change it back again. Because People were torn. Will I go to training? Will I go to Top of the... Now I'm watching Top of the Pops.
Well, that's when a quarter of the population were watching it. And then it switched from that to two. And then what they did, they switched days and went up against Coronation Street, which was an early kiss of death, you know.
Yeah. When did it start to become less important? I mean, I suppose when more outlets for music became available to bands. But at one stage, if you didn't make Top of the Pops, you didn't have a hit, really.
There were experimentations with album slots and new releases and stuff, but generally it was a hit show, you know, hits of the day. To be frank with you, I suppose when you look at the 60s, 70s, 80s, you can bracket them and call it psychedelia or glitter and romantic, whatever. When you get to the early 90s, late 80s, it's very hard to say what the music was. Mm. It was, with the greatest of respect, a bit of a mishmash, and I can hear people clamoring no, but it probably was unless identifiable. And when that went, I think some of the identity of music went a bit, and the show was only a reflection of the music of the day. And as the music arguably dipped, less identification, so the show lost its impetus, I think.
Yeah, it sort of lost its significance. But was that true, that other shows were popping up for people to be able to catch up on, I mean, videos or whatever, you
absolutely,
know?
Absolutely, yeah. And the power of technology and then the age is really... Put it down, but you know, you have cultural ministers about four or five years ago calling for it to come back. There is still, I doubt whether it will, but maybe it's had its day. But of its time, it was of huge importance.
There are younger people who work in the office, and trying to explain the significance of Top of the Pops, they look at you, no. You can see it in their eyes that they won't concede that any TV show was that powerful in the industry, but it was.
It really what Johnny Stewart, who started the ball rolling, it was, as he called it once, the simplest show in the world, but murder to put on, that's what he said. But it was basically the hits of the day. That's all he wanted to show, was the hits of the day. And the BBC said, all right, Johnny, yes, of course, love, we'll give you six shows. And of course, it lasted for 2,200 of them, you know.
Six shows? I didn't realise that was the original brief. Was
the original run in Manchester, in a church in Manchester, Johnny, was six shows. And they said, we'll give you six. And, of course, as they say, the rest is history. But, what can you say?
Bill Wyman from the Rolling Stones is quoted as saying, we were the first act and it changed our lives.
Very true. Wyman's one of the people I've been speaking to, Mr. Will Wyman. Indeed it did. And I think, they were the first band on the show ever, I Want to Be Your Man, 1964, 6:36 p.m., January 1st. It was the Stones who kicked it off, and it definitely did. And what's amazing throughout all those decades, even to the 90s, but I mean, everybody did it. The Pink Floyd did it, the Psychedelics did it, the Punks did it. All right, okay, when Morrissey did it with the Smiths, he threw away the microphone in disgust at having to mime and used a bunch of daffodils, but he was still on it. And he still did it. Not many people didn't do it.
Exactly. And those kinds of stories you're talking about, I mean, it was very obvious that Mark Bolan was miming, and there were classic bits like, I mean, John Peel was on ostensibly playing mandolin at one stage, and you had all these little quirks to watch out for, you know?
Well, he was playing, obviously miming, and Mark Bolan, his PR told me that Mark Bolan, if you noticed, that they would always look up at the monitors, for the monitors being the screens above, so they can see them. But Mark Bolan would be doing his hair and makeup when he was on Top of the Pops on the screen, preening himself as well, you know.
Yeah.
So it was.
And then, of course, the famous one that always gets talked about, when Dexys were singing Jackie Wilson, the photograph came up of Jockey Wilson, the dart player.
Yeah, there's many. I mean, I'm talking. I talk to some of the staff. Legend has it that Kevin Rowlands, who always was a naughty man in the 80s, I interviewed him lots of times. He's a very naughty man. He says that he asked for the pick to be up there, but I don't think so. I don't think so. I remember it coming up and saying, what the heck is that? You know.
Yeah. But those are brilliant. The stuff like that can happen on such an iconic show, give everyone a little smile anyway, you know?
I think so, yeah. When things went wrong, there was a great one of Pete Shelley doing Me and You and a Dog Named Boo. And he had a dog on a lead, and someone passed by with an aniseed bone. The dog took off, took him with it, and that was the end of his performance.
Yeah.
So, you know, but that's the great thing. Things can go wrong, and God bless life, you know.
So, I mean, I've seen a copy of the book. I've had a good rummage through it, and it's ideal for me. So am I your target audience here?
Hopefully more than you, Johnny. Hopefully more
yes.
than you buy it.
Yeah. But I mean, no. Seriously, I mean, it's the right time of year, a Christmas present for people who just want to have a wee dip into nostalgia and remind themselves how brilliant the show was.
I think so. And then there's a little get-together of a few folk next week, and Pete Murray, bless him, who's 88 years old, will be there, the Legs and Co. There are people around still, and a lot of young people, a lot of the youngsters, these people who are merely 50 or 40 coming along. Yeah. So basically, yeah, the legend does live on. And as I say, the good thing about the Pops is it was bigger than... The Beatles only ever did it once. They weren't even in the opening show. But the fact of it is, the Pops was bigger than the sum of its parts, and it still lives. So amazing, you know.
It was terrific. Well, hopefully the book will be as successful as the TV show was, Steve. But certainly I got a great amount of pleasure having a first skim through it. And then it was like... No, I'm going to have a look at that bit. And some of the photographs are brilliant as well.
Yeah, and we've got Mr. Bowie on the back. Yeah. That Starman performance, which is arguably, Johnny, I don't know what you think. People say that Starman was the best performance of Top of the Pops ever. So
I can remember. I mean, I remember like it was yesterday, because it was one of the ones that I recorded with my little tape recorder microphone up to the speaker on the TV and shouting at my brothers and sister to shut up, keep quiet. And of course, for them, it was a cue to start screaming and, you know, trying to ruin the recording. You know,
exactly.
But those are the things you remember, you know.
Blessed.
Listen, Steve, the book's in the shops, I take it. Is it yet?
November 28th, I think.
November 28th.
A couple of days. And please have it for Christmas and enjoy.
Okay, Steve, thanks for talking to us, mate. Thank you.
Bless you, Johnny. Best of all.